The title of today's talk is Youth is a Gift, Age a Work of Art. When we're born, tension is dominant and reflexive. Relaxation is recessive and requires conscious training choice. Now, one would wonder why that is so. It feels like a peculiar alignment for experience in the body. Why would that be? Youth, babyhood, youth, growing up, is experimental. It's experimental in the fact that you don't really know consequences. You don't have an inventory of consequences for choice. And therefore, tension, fear, is a way in which it can protect you as you're experimenting with life. That would be dangerous. This is too hot. This is too high. This is too low. This is, you know, whatever it is, too sharp, whatever. It's a barrier to injury, theoretically. And because in duality, there's an angst of coming to an end. Eternity is one thing. A limited lifespan is another. And so if you feel threatened that your life is in danger, what are you? You're tense. So from the very beginning, the whole training episode of the body mind is avoidance of pain and self-protection and self-gratification. Here we are. It's kind of strange that people think that a funhouse is a funhouse. If you've ever been to one of the old-time fairs where they had a funhouse, you go in, there's distortion mirrors, there's rotating floors that go up and down, and you're standing between, and it's going up and down with you, and you're trying to get your balance, you're trying to see yourself in these distortion mirrors. It's actually kind of terrifying. But because it's called a fun house and not a terror house, that comes in Halloween. We want to go get terrorized at Halloween at the Halloween spook house. Why? Why do we want to get spooked? Because it feeds the sensation of adrenaline coursing through the body. And dopamine, when, let's say, you get out of the scary spook house, that you survived. It's all about adrenaline and survival and more adrenaline, more survival, more adrenaline, more survival. So where does oxytocin come in? Relaxation. Ah, when we fall in love. Or we have innocence in our purview, like an innocent baby or an innocent kitty or little ducky or little chickie or whatever. There's this release of oxytocin, which is a sympathetic, loving kind of wanting to care for, protect, not throw down a chute and have it distributed in a warehouse of 100,000 other chickens waiting to have their heads chopped off. So, what's the purpose? What's the purpose here? Youth is a gift and age is a work of art. It's choice to do the difficult, which is to accept the divine within. And we don't know that relaxation is choosing the divine within until somebody comes along and knocks on your uptight door and explains it to you, i.e. the path, or spirituality in one form or another. It's natural to be tense. It's not natural to be relaxed. It has to be a default of going to sleep, letting go of enough tension to sleep. Or to be spontaneously triggered into relaxation by some form of music, which hits a certain frequency that relaxes you. Or a sunset, or a picture of some vision or experience of natural beauty, or just laying in the grass and looking at the clouds go by. But there are certain triggers that do help us relax. Now we can either choose to go towards those triggers and use them, or, like say, meditative music or different sound waves. Now they're playing around with sound waves in very amateurish ways that people are thinking that it's triggering them to relax, and other people it's not. You know, like rattling paper in your ear. Yeah. Well, these amateurs are playing this game on the web where they're theoretically doing things that relax you, like pouring beer into a glass and you hear the bubbling beer or something. Must have been raised in a bar. Anyway, there's more around us that triggers tension. If we allow it to stay in that interpretation. In other words, we can look in the backyard or the front yard or the side yard, whatever, and see all kinds of work to be done. Or we can look and say, isn't that beautiful? We can look at a forest and say, oh, that's scary. I don't want to get lost in that. Or isn't that magnificent? And feel all that love. Our minds are conditioned to look for problems, to see danger, to avert danger so that we can go on living and dripping. So, art, it definitely is art. When you do art, you're choosing to enter into a creative modality. You want to make something out of something else, or to reorganize it. It's an intention to organize something, to produce a poem, or a novel, or a painting, or a carving, or weave a carpet, or whatever it is that is created by intention. Now there's intention, and there's intention. There's intention to be inspired, to wait until inspiration arrives and you start putting lines on a canvas, or you pick up the paints and do something, or you sit down at the piano and start fiddling around with the keyboard to quote-unquote create a sound pattern that seems what you're after, or stumble onto that you didn't know you were after. The important thing is, are you waiting for inspiration, or are you mechanically doing something because it's a mental, let's say, conditioned knowledge? If you put the line here and you put the line here, you've made a cross. And what does the cross mean? Well, I don't know. You know, it depends. But youth is a gift because you're ignorant. But that comes with a high price of being on guard, being self-protective, having needy, wanty things and expectations of will they get met or won't they get met. Either way, you're adrenalizing. Letting go, but that's another thing, isn't it? Letting go and allowing is another thing. So, How much can we let go of? If we know that we have a soul, if we are, let's say, made aware that when we are relaxed, we are more available for inspiration from another frequency, i.e. called soul or spirit, or divine, or nature, if we relax, if we stop trying to create, if we're just waiting quietly for inspiration. Well, it takes intention to relax. You have no intention to be tense. You are automatically tense. You don't need intention to be tense. You just are. It's indigenous and dominant. So that's why it's so challenging to be still and let go and let God. It's the most difficult thing that humans do. Learn to relax and let go. And let God be still and know that I am God. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We have historically to so many historical sayings that have come down from the masters, from Buddha and from Confucius and from Lao Tzu and from Christ and from, you know, we go on and on and on, and all the masters, all the different masters and all the saints. We have many, 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 many cue cards that are handed to us. But do we read them? Do we really pay attention to the power that they are trying to give you to control your indigenous tension? It's about tension. It's about misinterpreting what you're seeing because you're tense all through your life. You're creating tension. And you think, really? Uh-huh. Go back and inventory, and all through your life, you're creating tension. What am I going to do when I get older? You know, what if the sale was off and I wanted that thing and it won't be there because, you know, I mean, it's trivia. It's just absolute nonsense. And we get a surge of adrenaline to go with it. So if you're sitting there in the chair, just try relaxing your shoulders, your gut. Of course, They were tense. And you can only relax so much in the first relaxation, and then you could be relaxed more and have more relaxation. It takes time to change the adrenaline overload to a endorphin of quietude or a serotonin release of relaxation or cortisol. So here we are. We're playing chemistry by thought. So if your chemistry's tense, tension chemistry, you have tense thoughts. And if you have tense thought, you have tense chemistry. So you have to manage both of them. Be still. Gee, that just seems too simplistic, doesn't it? But being still is difficult. Going to sleep sometimes after you've been frightened or scared or, you know, excited or worried or whatever, wrong diet, wrong timing of having something stimulating to eat or drink or whatever, takes a long time to relax, to let go, and maybe go to sleep. And even in sleep, you may be having wild and wacky dreams. More so now that we have so many towers beaming at us than used to be. Our puppies oftentimes have conversations in their sleep, sometimes barking, you know. So it's indigenous to being in a body. And why do they go through, like, trying to create a nest, nesting? They scratch and they run around in a circle and they scratch some more and they scratch some more and then finally they settle down. Then they get up and scratch some more and they're testing it out. It ain't quite perfect enough to rest. So here we are. We're constantly getting stimulation towards adrenaline. And that means, bye-bye, being God. Because adrenaline doesn't go with God. Is God adrenalinized? Doesn't quite fit, does it? Be still and know that I am God. No, it sounds like the wavelength of frequency required to be on frequency with God is like zero tension. Zero tension. Say, so how can that be? Maybe in my sleep. Let's say it would be helpful if we got closer. But we have to notice we're not. And when you are tense, you don't notice you are tense until you look at to measure whether you're relaxed or tense. And have you produced a methodology of alerting yourself to being tense. In other words, you walk through one door and you say, I think I'll make that arch an arch of, am I tense or am I relaxing? And I'm standing at a counter, am I tense or am I relaxing? What am I going to do if I know I'm tense? Well, inventory what's tense. Then inventory if you can change the chemistry to relaxation over and over and over again. Or you just decide you're not going to go anywhere until you reach ultimate relaxation. And quietly ask divine to inspire next and maintain not anxiety that you won't get inspired. That doesn't do you any good. That you sit there and enjoy the wait for inspiration to do the next. Now, in some ways, people say you don't have choice. To a degree, that's true. And to another degree, there is a little space there that if you notice, your condition and you intentionally change that condition, the difference is intent and default. Until your default becomes relaxed, you're automatically going to be tense. So if you're still defaulting to tension, which you are, you have to keep working at choice to relax. Now, that's hard to put to God is the only doer. But that little choice may be God's doorway to training you to choose to be with spirit as opposed to automatically be in the animal body. Do you want guidance from spirit, or do you just want to pale mail going on to being conditioned? An animal. Which is it? Animal or spirit? Animal-driven, spirit-inspired. Animal-driven, spirit-inspired. Now, it doesn't mean, and this is the kicker, that you are not going to be driven by spirit to go through the learning experiences of that choice. In other words, you came conditioned. Your genetics have a preference for adrenaline. because they're protective to the life of a duality experience. If there's an eternal experience, so you fall over a cliff. But there's nobody that thinks that's fun. So to protect yourself, you are tense, trying to stay away from things. Of course, mother and dad have to condition you to be more and more scared of things. How dangerous this is and how dangerous that is, and da 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 da. Don't run with the scissors. All that. So you're completely conditioned to live in tension. Every minute of every day until you fall asleep. Or you finally learn how to float. But that's scary. Letting go to float. That may be dangerous. And if there isn't somebody there holding you up while you're learning to float, you probably won't learn to float. You probably fight it until you drown yourself. So the work, and it is work, the workless work is to relax until you're receptive. Relax, relax, relax. And to choose it over and over and over and over again. A loving, open heart. Is the seat of relaxing to the frequency of spirit. A loving, open heart. None of the rest of your body is. And if the heart is, and you can then experience from the heart the oxytocin and the serotonin, the brain gets it. And you can relax the brain to be inspired. Inspired. In spirit. There's an in spirit. The word inspired means spirit within. Doesn't it? Think it through. We don't even think of it that way. Inspired means spirit in. You have a spirit in, not out, not above, not over there, not in the big universe, in. Inspired. Spirit within gives you direction, is the one that says do this, do that. No, it doesn't say it in so many words most of the time. Sometimes it does. But it's just when you're very, 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 very still that something dawns on you. A light experience. Why would we use the word dawn? Dawns on you. It was like a light going off in my head. Suddenly I knew. All of these words are, let's say, electrical, light, and come with an assurance that that's what you're supposed to be doing. It comes with kind of a tag on it, says, this would be nice to do, dear. This would be useful to do. This would be what you're looking for in creativity. Oh, yeah. So, youth is a gift, but it's also a punishment. It's something that conditions you, and you have to recondition yourself with tools that the masters bring and give you. Age is a work of art. Art should be inspired, right? Age is a work of art. Inspiration. Art. The hardest lessons to learn that mankind faces. I read this to you last week, but I'm going to read it to you again because it's useful. From Teresa of Avila. He has never left you. It is just that your soul is so vast that just like the earth in its innocence, it may think, I do not feel my love's warmth against my face right now. But look, dear. Is not the sun reaching down its arms and always holding a continent in its light? God cannot leave us. It is just that our soul is so vast. We do not always feel his lips upon the veil. That our souls are so vast that we do not feel his lips. We are spread. Your soul is taking in information that your mind is not calculating. And so there's kind of a mishmash of what's going on. If the earth is facing, as it is right now, where we are, the sun, then this part of the earth is getting warmed by the sun. But when it's over in India, India and that area are getting warmed by the sun, and we will be cooling from the lack of direct sun. Now, the part of the earth that is away from the direct sun in its cooling may question the sun. Is it going to warm me again? Who knows? You see. So, if we do not present ourselves consciously, cognitively, towards the sun, towards the spirit, we may wonder if we're going to ever be guided by the spirit. How often do you be still and know that God is with you during a day? You see? Now you may sit down to meditate, but are you? Are you open-hearted? Or are you stressed out? Or are you mind-wandering? Are you planning getting up and getting dinner? Busy mind. And why are you busy mind? Because you haven't brought your body chemistry away from enough adrenaline to be still. It's a simple thing. It's adrenaline or not adrenaline. Dopamine or not a dopamine. Cortisol or not cortisol. Serotonin or not serotonin. I mean, these are all just chemistry. But they're either intentionally moved to or from, or unconsciously moved from. You're going to always unintentionally move away from relaxation. You're going to move away because it's indigenous to being in a bipolarized terminal potential body. So it is always on guard. That's its job assignment. And the ego's assignment is to exacerbate that, to enhance that. And it did from the day you were born and you started needing, wanting to learn things. The fear of failure, the fear of hurting yourself, the fear of not getting, the fear of, you know, somebody else getting more, not understanding, not looking cute, not being having a boyfriend or girlfriend, not having children, having a meal, not having a meal, having what I want. Do I get to have croissants or do I have to have one of those dumb dry biscuits? You know. Here we are. And we don't even know what's happening. It happens all day long. So there have to be skids that you can put on to monitor that you've gone over the hill. You've gone over to tension land, that you're still in tension land. You haven't gotten out of tension land. You're not doing anything to get out of tension land other than beat yourself up because you didn't get out of tension land. Beating yourself up doesn't work, if you've noticed. And so just making routines that let you know you're in Adrenalineville as opposed to oxytocin, relaxation, joyland. Are you in joy? Are you joy? If you're not, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If you don't want to choose relaxation, you won't. If it seems that your ego is saying that's dangerous to live that way, and it will say it's dangerous, you can't do that. You'll never get anything done. Nothing will get done. Let me see. The baby lying in the crib, helpless. Does it or does it not get taken care of? It's doing nothing. It's laying there. It's fed, it's cleaned, it's diapered, it's loved, it's rocked, it's entertained. There it is. So if the helpless, hopeless baby is getting taken care of, why would sitting in a chair with the full intention of relaxing and letting God take care of you, letting spirit inspire you, why not? Why would God beat you up for that? You don't beat up a baby because it doesn't jump up and change its own diaper. Or go milk the cow and pasteurize the milk. You know. No. You don't blame the baby for that. And theoretically, the human body is a baby. Doesn't matter how old you get, you're a baby. You have an ancient soul, but you have a baby body and brain. So, if we come helpless, helpless to God, be still, helpless, be still. Why wouldn't God take care of us? He takes care of us when we're fighting him. Why wouldn't he take care of us if we're asking? Getting quiet enough that we're not like holding on to an alligator. Oh, yes. That's how we are. We're kind of like alligators snapping at God because he doesn't give us what we want when we want it, and we're trying to find ways to manipulate God. But we don't think of it that way. But that's what we're doing. So our immaturity is legion. So if we're so immature, really, intellectually, wouldn't it be advantageous to go to the infinite knower for guidance? How to? The manual? The manual till now? The manual to a minute from now? A manual for a day? A manual for a project? A manual? Yeah. Well, yes. I think we got it. The only thing is it's up to you to decide to present yourself helplessly to guidance, to spirit and God. Like a little baby laying in its crib. It's helpless. Can't do nothing. Just lay there. Think about that. You either trust that God is benevolent, or you don't. You either trust that if you open your heart towards God, saying his name a few times sometimes helps. Oh God, oh Mother, please pick me up. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And really trust and relax that no matter how infantile your approach, so what? How infantile is a newborn baby? An infant. And we haven't gotten past that. We're childish in our fear of God. We're childish in our fear of God. So, the more we can remember that the baby is cared for, and we in our ignorance, and we are ignorant, are cared for. The biological, egotistical brain is immature, period. Can't know what God knows. Can't know what the soul knows. But we can be moved if we present ourselves in humility to the Spirit. And, by the way, wait for an answer. Wait for inspiration. So the Christmas holidays can remind us that we have work to relax. Work to relax. Or relax to relax. We have to relax to relax. Okay, that sounds better. Let's relax to relax.